some of the things that I've been doing to try to make this Christmas a little bit different. I am getting a little sick of Perry Como and Tony Bennett right now, okay? Yeah, and I can include our Tony Bennett in that today, too, as well. I didn't include him last week. No, I'm just playing Tony. The songs that, you know, but I'm still listening to it. I'm going to work through it all the way through December 25th. I think that the more we can grasp this time of year, particularly with all that's going on in our world, with all the things that threaten to keep our minds and our eyes off Jesus, you know, I think that the better we're going to be in the long run for the future. And so I just encourage you to make Christmas something that we celebrate year-round. I want to real quickly just bring our attention to Mary, because we're just going to do a couple of things today and just talk very briefly about her. And then we're going to dig in a little bit more next week, a couple of days after Christmas. I know many of you might be on the road, and that's okay. But, you know, come back and we'll talk about her a little more in depth next week. They kind of reminded me, I went over last week, so I told myself I'll make up for it this week. So I want to encourage you to take a look at her this week, her life and her story, because we're going to look, as I said, pretty much in depth next week. And I want to encourage you also, you saw the advertisement earlier on our Christmas Eve services on Wednesday night and Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Now, notice the time changes, the time differences, 6 o'clock Wednesday, 5 o'clock on Thursday. Now, I'm inviting all of our elders and everyone else. They will be here to kind of lead this. But we're going to meet 30 minutes prior in the conference center, as many of you that want to, for prayer time, both of those evenings. Just have a special time of prayer for our church, for our folks. We have a lot of folks that are going through all kinds of stuff, and the list is just so long of some of the things that our people are working through and going through. But we encourage you to meet in the conference center 30 minutes earlier. I think I mentioned that in the first service last week, but not the second service. And so if I didn't do that, I apologize greatly. But if you would just meet there 30 minutes prior, each of those services, and we'll have a time of special prayer. Mary was an incredible individual. Would you agree? You know, it's so incredible anyway that some religions of the world choose to put her almost on the same plane as Jesus himself. Now, while that might be a little heretical and we might think, well, that's not really a good thing, I think that while that may be true, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And in doing that, we don't want to denigrate the impact of Mary. We don't want to denigrate the honor that she deserves as being the one that was chosen by God to be the earthly mother of his son. And Mary's life was such that it was one of ups and downs. It was one that required so many attributes and so many character traits. And as we illustrate this week and next, that biographical method of Bible study about looking at an individual and trying to glean from that individual's life things that are obvious and things that are not so obvious, but most importantly, things that we can apply to our lives, I want us to think about her. And I want us to think about it, because this Bible study method is one that tends to overcome that whole idea about I'm so bored. I hear a lot of people that say, you know, I don't read anything but biographies. Anything else bores me. You know, I know a lot of people like that. Why? Because they typically like to know of real life stuff, and they like to know of things that really happened, because if it really happened in real life, not so much in a fictional novel or anything like that, or not in some theoretical kind of book, they might think, you know, maybe I can relate to it. Maybe I can relate to that person. So in this Bible study method, we're going to talk about Mary and how we can relate to her. In your What's Up, there's an outline, and we're not going to go through all that. We're going to jump through it today in the next 10 minutes or so. And we are going to just simply take a look at some of the things about her life. Now, the biographical Bible study method is one that it can be done relatively simply. And it's one that doesn't take a lot of time. But we're going to go through the 10 steps between this week and next week that we need to focus on. Again, we're going to skip around today because I'm going to move to step 2 or 3 and then beyond today. And we're going to look at just 3 of those. But one of the things that we need to do when we think about Christmas is we need to think about the story itself. And I believe that no story is any better, I guess, characteristic of Mary and the person that she had become and the person that she would, in fact, be as the mother of Jesus, as that what we see over in Luke chapter 1. Go there. If you got your Bibles and want to go there, Let's go to Luke, those first couple of chapters, and we think of that passage and also the one that we see, there in Matthew as well. And the Bible starts there, the verse starts there in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And so in this story, in the sixth month, the Bible says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now Mary, there was something about this in that Mary didn't pass out all of a sudden, you know. She didn't just faint when Gabriel appeared to her. Now she probably had heard of Gabriel before in the Old Testament legends and even as she knew prophecies and understood that Gabriel was one who had perhaps appeared to Daniel and perhaps in other situations as well. And so he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. "Since I am, after all, a virgin, this can't really happen." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And perhaps the most characteristic verse that we can think of in the life of this wonderful woman: "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. I think that passage, more than any, gives us a snapshot of the life of this incredible young lady, one who God had been preparing for this moment for perhaps all of her life. You know, I believe that in God's providence that God thinks ahead on these things. And Mary was there, and he knew who this little girl would be and who she would grow into as a teenager and who she would become as an adult. And he knew that she would be worthy to be the mother of his son. Well, just a couple of things I want to do. Just as there are 10 steps in the biographical method, I want to look at just a couple of these real quickly. I want you to skip down to where it says first impressions. I hadn't even told you guys this, but we're just going to skip around. So if we try to, bear with us as we try to keep up with you on the screen. What are some of the first impressions that you get of the story about Mary? I'm going to give you some that came to me. Yours may be different as you study this, and I encourage you to study it this week. But here's some things that just came to me. Now, it's hard to get a first impression when you've heard the Christmas story now for however many years old you are. Now, in unison on 1, 2, 3, everybody just shout out your age, all right? Just so we'll know just how tough this is. Shout out your age verbally, okay? 1, 2, 3.
25.
Wow, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Some of y'all are really older than I thought you were, all right? Some of you look older than you really are, so after I discovered that about you. But, you know, it's hard to think of first impressions in a story like this, one that we've heard so many times. Me, 49 or 50, depending on whether my son's right in his math or I'm right in my math, all right? And you know, it's difficult for us to figure out some of these things. But here's some things that I thought of. I noticed about Mary an innocence and maybe even a naivety. You know, a naivety. You know folks that are naive? You know, they're kind of maybe have lived a sheltered life. Those are the most fun people in the world to be around. Do you realize that? When I found my wife, she was the most naive and sheltered person I ever met. And I had so much fun with her, the jokes I could play on her and get away. And she had no way of suspecting anything. It was so good. And I can still do that to a degree today. She still has a little bit of that in her. And I don't want any of that to ever leave. But Mary had this naivety about her. There was a sense of innocence. And it, I think it comes through in this encounter with the angel. And I think when she said something like this, "But how can this be given that I am a virgin?" You know what I think that really means when she says that? She says, I value so highly the my virginity. I value so highly my purity. That angel, is this going to somehow compromise my sense of who I really am? Is this going to cause me to compromise my morals? She was innocent and very naive. She obviously had a heart for God that made her respond positively to Gabriel's message. The poise that she demonstrated in that moment, to me, is just one of the things that just is just amazing. And again, we don't know the whole story. She might have fainted. And he shook her, woke her up, and maybe the writer just didn't record that. I don't know. Maybe God. No, I doubt that very seriously. But the poise that she maintained during this encounter, I thought was incredible. Another thing, it seems to be odd timing for the Messiah's birth. An odd time for this to happen, because there had been no Jewish prophet speaking to the nation of Israel for over 400 years. We're just following this time that we know as the period of silence. And many scholars, they have a difficult time with this. Why did God not send someone beyond Malachi and Zechariah, who seem to be the last prophets in the Old Testament times, to really speak through God? You see, the Savior, and here's what I think is really cool. The Savior would be born as light into a world of utter darkness. The number of times that light and darkness are contrasted in Scripture is just incredible to see. The number of times and also the emphasis on the difference between light and dark and how the light illuminates and how it breaks through the darkness. See, that's what Christmas is all about. And this timing that this young girl, who may have been as young as 15 years old, she may have been 18 or 19, we just don't know. But that she would be a part of this critical moment in history. And then the other thing that really strikes me when I try to step back and think about the story is the relative obscurity of the birth. When you think of the leaders that we have today in our nation, you think of those who are the celebrity types. Today we are big on celebrity leadership, right? I really believe that because of the news media and everything today, if Jesus were to come today and be born all over again, what would that be like? Well, you know, we never would have heard anything. It's, you know, no. We've got other leaders that are, this would really be a plain kind of thing, a birth, a baby. He can't even talk. He can't, you know, emote in ways that people would understand what he's thinking. How would that go with our world of celebrity leadership today? Well, at a second coming, I think we'll find out, right? Whether it's in our lifetime or not, or sometime beyond. But that's going to rock the world when that happens. Jesus' birth would rock a small world directly, but ultimately his life would rock the entire known world at that time. So these are four things that I think of just when I think of first impressions about this story. What are some of, let's skip down to where you see on your outline character qualities identified. And I just want to go through these real quickly. We'll dig into this a little bit more next week. What did you notice about Mary? What did you notice about her? What have you noticed over all your years? You're all like years old, right? And so as I heard you. And so what have you thought about her? What are the character qualities that you could identify? Well, I see in her a humble spirit that helped bolster her during the trials of the illegitimate pregnancy. Remember, she was a woman who, as far as everybody else knew, she was a young gal who wasn't married, but yet who was pregnant. And so even during this time, although the baby in her was the Son of God and the seed that had been planted was that by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, she still had to go through this stigma and this trauma. It was a difficult thing for her. She had a humble spirit that allowed her to work through that and to understand that there was a greater purpose involved. Then there was the journey to Bethlehem that we talked about when we talked about Joseph and the difficulty of that 70-mile journey on a donkey's back over terrain that was very rough. Another thing that I thought about was her faithfulness to the task. There were so many adverse circumstances in addition to those we just mentioned. For example, after Jesus was born, not long thereafter, maybe within a couple of years, we think, the king there, the king caused them, Herod, Archelaus, there was a number of kings, a couple of kings there that came to power and that were in power in Jesus's very early childhood that wanted to do away with him. And so what did Joseph and Mary have to do? They had to flee. They had to leave. They had to go in. They go where? They had to go into Egypt, right? And then ultimately they would come back and they would find and make their home back in Nazareth. Just things like that. There was the pain of knowing, as we think Mary probably did know, that her son's life would likely end in a cruel death, unjustly, for something that he had never done. We talked about Isaiah 53 and the prophecies there, and her being who she was. Our guess was that she would have been aware of those scriptures, and she might have been thinking, oh, I'm the one. Genesis 3:15, yeah. She didn't have the word in front of her written, obviously, at that time about that, but she would have heard the story. She would have heard the story about Adam and Eve and about the serpent and what happened thereafter, the curse and the prophecy of the promise of one that would come to do away with him who had deceived Adam and Eve and who was taking his place against God. Mary was a special lady. There was her sense of order and obedience. My guess is that she was probably a lady who would have kept a really neat and clean house. That's my guess. Yeah, I think that's just who she was. She seemed to be with it. She seemed to be very courageous in the way she handled that encounter with the angel. We talked about that early. And finally, she had a sense of moral purity about her. And that she also behaved virtuously, get this, again, as Joseph did. She behaved as Joseph did, virtuously, in not engaging in sexual relations with each other after she became pregnant, before they got married. That continues to really be a big deal. Joseph and Mary, moral purity. It's a beautiful thing. So, the character qualities that we identify when we look at someone in Scripture can be very informing to us. They need to be the character qualities that we try to emulate in our own lives. And indeed, next week we're going to talk about some of those qualities and how we can do that. How God has provided us with the tools, how He's provided us with the brains, how He's provided us with the will and the spirit, that if that is a spirit that it is, as it is submitted to Him, we have access to those same character qualities as well. So what are some of the summaries? What's the summary of some of the lessons from Mary's life as we close? And we're going to hit this real much more deeply next week. What's the summary of some of the lessons from her life? I want to talk about this because God's call. Now, I really wonder if when the Son of God in heaven, when God told him, God the Father told Jesus about his plan, and he said, but this is how it's going to end. this is going to be you right before the triumphal moment. But you got to go through this, but on the other side of this, things will be turned. The worm will turn. Human history will again be changed. And man will have a way to be reconciled to me. But you got to go through this to get there. Jesus, even in his discussions with his disciples, gave some clues. Even before going to the cross, he prayed something like this: Lord, if it be your will, is there another way we can do this? If you remember his words. And yet, before He came. Before he was born, he knew that this would be part of the plan. Not an accident. Not an accident. Not just some angry reaction by people who would be opposed to him, although that would be the case, but that was part of the plan. You see, that call on Jesus' life was also a call on Mary's life. So what can we understand about God's call? Let me give you three things real quickly about God's call. Because you know what? Every one of us has a calling. I was at a website and I was looking at the news, and a little sidebar talked about a ministry, a service organization, and this lady said, you know, I'm not a religious person, but this is my calling. You know, to the point that even those who characterize themselves as not religious, understanding, they understand that there is a purpose in life. Many do. So how much more should those of us who claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how much more should we understand the sense of calling and the sense of purpose? Particularly when the one we are called to follow knew all along that that's how it would end up. I can tell you this about your calling, because there is one for every one of us. There is. Whether you realize it or not, I don't know. Whether you're fighting it or not, I don't know. Only you know. Whether you're living into it, I don't know. I don't know. Can I say this about God's call to you? It's like in a conversation I was having with a gentleman this week. The range of God's will for us is much broader than we give it credit for. Many folks get wrapped around the axle thinking that God owes them a lightning bolt of some type, or maybe stone tablets that miraculously get engraved at a certain point in time so that we will know without a doubt. Folks, can I tell you that I don't think you'll ever know without a doubt? Because if you knew without a doubt, what would be the reason for faith? The life of the Christ follower, the life that He died to allow you and I to have, is a life of uncertainty, because it's based on faith. It's based on faith. So what can we say about that calling? Three things I think we can learn from Mary. Number one, it usually comes unexpectedly. The point of realization will a lot of times come unexpectedly. Now, I doubt real seriously that Gabriel's going to appear to you, okay? Can't tell you right now, that ain't going to happen for you. It might, but I'm just going to say, for all practical purposes, let's assume right now it ain't going to happen. And I think I'm probably going to be right about that one. So how are you going to open yourself up to God's call for your life? Because it's going to come unexpectedly. You've got to be aware. You've got to be ready. That's why we're giving you, one of the reasons we're giving you these tools, these Bible study methods, in hopes that you will take them and that you will build into your own life habits that will prepare you for that time. Secondly, here's the biggie. God's call will often cause great interruption in whatever your plans may be. God's call will often cause great interruptions in whatever your plan will be. Now, does that mean, well, I shouldn't plan anything then? I should just know. God's intent is for us to live life purposefully, with intentionality. But we've also got to be flexible enough to know when to shift them. I work with churches all the time, and that's what I tell them. But, you know, you need to plan, but you also got to plan flexibly enough so that when God says, no, go this way instead of that way, you're able to go. You're able to move. That's what we got to do in our personal lives as well. And finally, God's call always challenges us to an initiative that is bigger than ourselves. See, that's the good thing about it. When you got down to it, you know, Jesus had to admit himself, God, this is so much bigger than me. You know, but because you're talking about the entire world being reconciled, and you know what, if this is the way that we can, you know, overturn what Lucifer did, what Satan did back in the garden? Hey, I'm in. Count me in. Count me in. See, because God's call on your life is going to be to something that is bigger than you. And the question is, are you man enough or woman enough to step up to take on the calling and live it out? This Christmas season, I hope these questions, again, I go back to this word that I'm beginning to use a lot recently. I hope these questions haunt you. I hope the story of Mary's call to fight through inconvenience, to fight through danger, to fight through potential, disrepute. I hope that her calling will haunt you so much that it inspires you to dig deep and say, okay, God, what is that for me? You see, because God's calling is progressive. You just don't get it just one time, and then that's to cover everything else. Trust me, He speaks multiple times over your life. Your call is progressive. I've discovered that personally and continue to discover it as time goes on. My prayer for you this Christmas season is that you will be like Mary, ready to receive, ready to move, ready to fight through whatever you need to fight through to follow that calling. We'll talk some more about her next week. Let me pray for you. Father, God, your word is so cool. Lord, it's so, heavy at times, profound. God, it's also simple to understand. God, forgive us for the times when we choose to try to complicate it so much, and that we're looking for something so complex when the simple reality of who you are and the simple reality of the calling that you give to us is right there before our eyes. Father, make us, make you known.